This week, we're just going to continue, you know, what we've been doing over the last couple of weeks, just going down the prayers over the year, the prayer struggles that we've looked at. Last week, I misspoke because I told you the financial struggles were actually the third highest. They weren't. They were actually the second. The financial struggles were the second highest prayers of the year. And the third this week is actually relational struggles as it pertains to marriage, parenting, with our kids, with our coworkers, all, you know, just all the different relationships, family conflict, and all that comes with it. And so as I've done each week, I'll show some of the prayers from the relational struggles over the years. So you can go ahead and put that message up there. And so you can look through some of the relational struggles, some of the prayers. Again, this is just a snapshot of some of the prayers throughout the year, and there's just a lack of communication at home, not feeling heard. Marriage feels distant, disconnected. We need unity spiritually on different pages. There's tension in our home every day. I pray for our communication. It's been unhealthy. We need healing, and we need peace in our home. And you can leave that up for just a few more seconds there, and you can read through and kind of begin to understand and feel the weight of what people are dealing with, what people are going through. And this category was one of the most emotionally heavy and spiritually sensitive of all the prayers. And, you know, you look through that and you begin to go, okay, well, what are some of the causes of the relational struggles? And from these prayers, we can pull out some of the causes of the relational struggles that we're experiencing. You can put that next one up there as well. And so you begin to see that there's miscommunication, unspoken hurt, assumptions, past wounds that are either being brought up or triggered, or someone is putting against us. There's unhealthy conflict cycles. There's gossip, misrepresentation, spiritual imbalance, emotional depletion. And, you know, I look at the causes, I look at the prayers, and I go, man, relational struggles? And what I'm seeing, what I'm sensing, a lot of times are a product of communication issues. We're not properly communicating. We're not sharing what we're feeling, what we're going through. We're not addressing the things that need to be addressed. And, I was just thinking about this in my own life. As I experience just communication blunders, or I experience relationship struggles, and oftentimes a lot of my own frustrations happen when I express my expectations, and then I have this sense, or I have this feeling, that my expectations are being forgotten, my expectations are being poorly executed, or maybe just disregarded completely. And it's one of those things where, like, I've expressed something that feels important to me, but someone else is just treating it casually. And so I allow this frustration of my expressed expectations fester, right? I kind of just let it boil on the inside, and I let that frustration grow. I don't say anything, and I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, maybe, and it just festers and it boils, and instead of sharing it. And so that leads to conflict. Whether or not the other person knows, I'm dealing with, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm dealing with it, and they don't even know I'm dealing with it because I haven't brought it up. And so, I talk about, like, so I have these, I've expressed my expectations, but then I've found that oftentimes my expressed expectations, you ready for this, weren't as clear as I thought they were. You know what I'm saying? Like, I thought what I said, what I expressed, how I shared it, like, you should get what I'm saying. And if you don't, well, you know, that's not my problem, right? Like, it made sense to me, and it sounded good in my head, but there's a good chance it came off differently, or something was missed. I tend to think, like, I know the way this should be done, and you should know the way it should be done too. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, those are my problems. I'm just sharing with you. You guys share your prayers a lot, and so there you go. Be praying for me and my frustration struggles. So, you know, I share that to be like, I'm not sure about it, about you, but I find relationship struggles usually starts when what we expected to happen doesn't actually happen. Or when we didn't properly communicate our expectations or feelings. Because we don't communicate it, we can't, you know, have someone respond back to us. Or maybe we have communicated, but the response that we expected was unexpected. You know what I'm saying? Like, it came back and you're like, oh, I didn't think you were going to respond that way. And now I don't know what to do. And now I'm just going to shut down. And so there's this miscommunication, right? And so we got miscommunication, and you couple that with unmet expectations. And you know what that typically leads to? Assumptions. And often our assumptions create tension, create bitterness, create resentment, and that grows into what we like to call gossip. And we begin to, you know, just talk around the issue instead of addressing the issue. And so here's what I'll say. Many relationship struggles, right, that tension and that frustration, I feel it could be quickly de-escalated by simply communicating. What are we going to communicate? We're going to communicate a few things. Communicate what you heard, right? It's one of those things, if you're in a conversation with somebody and they're sharing stuff with you, a really good practice, repeat back to them what they just said to you. Because maybe as you repeat it back to them, they'll hear it from you and go, oh, that's not what I meant. Or you heard me wrong or something like that. And then you could communicate how it made you feel. Like, this is what I heard. This is how it made me feel. And you can even share, this is how I perceived it. Because again, we could say something thinking that someone's going to perceive it the way that we do, but they may perceive it differently. And then you can share like why you reacted the way that you reacted. And a lot of that could come from, you know, sharing your own expectations of the circumstance, or even things that happened leading up to this struggle that you're dealing with. And so there's this, you just communicate. Communicate what's going on. Communicate how you're feeling. Communicate what you heard. And then after you spend time communicating what you heard and what you're feeling and what you're experiencing, you're ready for this is really crucial. And then you take time to listen to them do the same, right? It's not just us getting everything off our chests and then walking away. No, then we take time to listen to what they're hearing, what they're experiencing, what they're expecting. And so it's this back and forth. I mean, for the last 30 years, there's been a scripture that has helped me through just experience healthy conflict and enter into healthy conflict. And it's James 1:19. And it's one that I learned early on, and I'm so glad that God gave it to me when he did. I feel like he knew I was going to need it. And it simply says this, ready? Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And it's just really quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And so in my life, I don't know about you, but I tend to do the opposite. I'm quick to speak, quick to get angry, and real, real slow to listen, right? And so that was something that God has continually helped me in a situation where I want to respond, react, right, and really just pop off. And God's like, no, don't do that. Just chill down. Wait a minute. And really listen. And so it's so important. But like, you know, as we share what we feel, what we're experiencing, what we're going through, what has led up to this, like we don't share that to make excuses. Well, this is why my behavior is this way, and this is why. We share these things so that we can be better understood, and we give the other person an opportunity for us to understand them. And if we don't take time to communicate through the tension and through the frustration with the source of the struggle, it can quickly turn into gossip. And what gossip does is all it does, it doesn't de-escalate. Gossip escalates the struggle. And here's why. And this is something that God's been given to me and showing to me as I've walked through conflict with many people and sat there as a mediator with many people. Here's what I've come to realize. Ready? Why gossip escalates struggles. This is it. I'm going to put that up on the screen. Here's what it is. We talk about the person and the problem instead of talking to the person about the problem. Does it make sense? We talk about them and the problem, but we don't actually go to them to address the problem. And what we do as we're going through relational issues and relational tension, relational struggles, we tend to gravitate towards people who will validate us and affirm or agree with us, right? They will tell us what we want to hear instead of what we need to hear. And they'll come in and they'll kind of fuel the tension and the frustration, and they'll strengthen the assumptions. We tend to go to people that'll become our allies in our fight against the enemy, which is the other person, by the way. The reality of it is this. It's a lot easier to talk about someone than it is to talk to someone. And I think The reason why is because when we have to have a direct conversation with somebody, it requires humility, it requires vulnerability, it requires honesty, and it requires a willingness to hear how what we may have been a part of the problem that is taking place. And it's so important. And so in the midst of your relational struggles, you really need to begin to ask this. Like if something's going on and you're having all these side conversations, you need to ask yourself this question. What is the purpose of talking to someone other than the person that I'm struggling with? What's the purpose of talking to someone other than the person that I'm struggling with? Because as we share our struggles, here's what we should do, right? We should do so to seek prayer and wise counsel. And I think that's what we may desire, or we may say that we desire, but oftentimes, instead of seeking wise counsel and going to it with prayer and with scripture, we begin to attack someone's character and gain allies against them and the problem that we have with them. And here's what I'm leading to. There is a fine line between sharing gossip and seeking guidance. And many of us tend to struggle with understanding where that line is. And as we share our struggles, man, we've got to be careful not to become vents for frustration or storage units for complaints or just these receptacles for gossip where we're just like, yeah, give me the juicy details, right? We love that stuff. Don't act like you don't. We're like, yeah, I want to know all the juicy stuff, okay? And I'm going to tell some other people too. That's gossip. Anyway, so here's how gossip works. I'm going to kind of give you these two things. So gossip, which is basically complaint sharing. Here's what tends to take place when gossip shows up. And maybe this will help you begin to recognize if gossip is taking place in your life. What happens is the person in question is excluded from the conversation. And what I mean by that is like you go and talk to someone about what's going on and you don't have any plan to bring them into the conversation for that person to help mediate and bring resolve. They're never brought in to the problem. And as you're gossip and complaint sharing to the person, what you're getting back is subjective and personal advice. They got your side. They're going to have your back no matter what. It tends to lead to character bashing, right? It's no longer just about the problem. You begin to just attack the person. Like, this is who they are. And I hate who they are, you know, because they, you know, they didn't give you a dollar or something. I don't know. So anyway, so like gossip will escalate tension. Gossip is driven by frustration. And oftentimes you'll hear things like, I don't want to talk bad about them, but, and you're like, well, you're about to share something bad then, right? Just because you said you don't want to and you continue to do so, like you really wanted to. So just don't say that. So anyway, here's a key test, ready? When it comes to gossip, would you say it if they were present? If not, don't say it. And if you would, ready for this? Go say it to them. Call them on the phone. Be like, hey, we were just talking about you. I was about to say this, and I want to share it to you. The problem with gossip is it quickly spirals, and it distorts the truth, it divides relationships, it creates assumptions, it destroys trust, it exposes insecurity. At the end of the day, it prevents reconciliation. And so here's what I'll say to you. You ready for this? Gossip on the bus shouldn't go round and round, okay? Here's what, gossip on the bus should be shut down, be shut down. There you go, I sang again, that's twice in this series, got to sing that song. It works, it just works. And so that's gossip. And we gotta understand the difference. And so then we look at the other side of it. It's like we tend, like going back to that question, why are we going to someone else? What's the purpose? It should be guidance where we're seeking counsel. And when we go to guidance and counsel seeking, here's what this looks like. The person in question will eventually be included into the conversation. And maybe they're not in the initial conversation because you're going to someone saying, I'm having this problem and I just need you to pray about it. I need you to speak into it. And maybe you can come with me and we can go talk to this person about it. And so they will eventually be brought in. The object is to bring that person into the conversation, not just bash them. And then you look and it's biblical objective wisdom, not just some personal subjective advice. It moves towards reconciliation. Again, it is driven by prayer. Like, we're not just talking about this, and we're bringing God into this, and we're asking God to bring clarity and God to bring discernment and God to bring reconciliation. And at the end of the day, when we seek counsel and guidance, it will de-escalate the tension. And so here's the deal. To keep guidance from becoming gossip, like if someone brings a relational struggle to you, begin to ask the following things. Is the purpose of this conversation resolution? And I'll say these slow because I didn't put it on a slide, sorry. Is the purpose of this conversation resolution? Did this conversation start with prayer? Is it rooted or does it have a foundation in the truth, in God's word? Has this issue that is happening already been shared with the person in question? Like, do they have knowledge of the fact that you're upset? Do they know what's going on, how you're feeling? Is it focused on the problem? This is so important. Or is it attacking the person? And I think that's a key one right there. Are we just talking about the problem and dealing with the problem? Or are we tarnishing someone else's character? I think the next thing is, within this conversation and with what's happening, is there grace? And is there forgiveness? And I think lastly, as someone brings something to you, you need to ask yourself, can I be objective in this moment? And if not, I may not be the best person to speak into what's going on. And so there it is. So is there resolve? Does it start with prayer? Is it rooted in scripture? Has it already been shared with the other person? Are we focusing on the problem and not attacking the person? Is there grace and forgiveness, and can I be objective? And if you say yes, you know what? I can say yes to those things. Okay, cool. Then you're in a conversation that is going to lead to reconciliation, and then you can begin to listen, to offer guidance, and offer mediation, right? You can be present when a conversation happens if needed. And it's so important that we know this, because we got to see the difference, because here's why. Conversations that are driven by gossip, what we're calling complaint sharing, conversations driven by gossip, they lead to unhealthy conflict. Whereas conversations driven by guidance, right, that counsel seeking, they lead to healthy conflict. And there's a difference. There's healthy conflict and there's unhealthy conflict. Most of us go, I don't want to deal with conflict at all. And I'll just tell you right now, avoiding conflict is not the way to go. You want to enter into having healthy conflict. So let me unpack healthy conflict versus unhealthy conflict. And there'll be a slide up on the screen with both of these side by side. Ready? Healthy conflict. This is having direct conversations with people. Right? Again, I said it's not just talking about the person, about the problem, or talking around them. You're having direct conversations, and those conversations, there's clarity, there's understanding, there's unity, there's growth, there's intimacy, there's repentance, and there's restoration. That's what healthy conflict looks like. On the other side, you got unhealthy conflict. These are indirect conversations. You're not talking directly to someone. You're talking around them. You're talking about them. There's blame. There's escalation. There's silence. There's withdrawal. There's passive aggression, gossip, bitterness, resentment, all those things. That's the difference. And so you got to look like, where am I? Which ones do I fall in? When I think about my relationships, when I think about my conversations with my spouse, with my kids, with my coworkers, with people in the church, am I having healthy conflict or unhealthy conflict? Listen, in indirect conversations about the person and the problem, right? Gossip. All that's going to do is escalate tension and frustration, and it will result in unhealthy conflict. Direct conversations, ready, to the person about the problem will de-escalate tension, de-escalate frustration, and it will result in healthy conflict. Now, I'm not saying right out the bat it's going to be like everything's, you know, good and wonderful. No, what I'm saying is you're entering into having healthy conflict, which means you're willing to address the tough stuff and work through your problems so that there can be resolve, so that there can be compromise. You know, here's the thing. In my life and what I've seen in other people's lives is that often unhealthy conflict is a product of pride. It's pride. And I found that in the midst of relational struggles, here's what pride says. It'll be on the screen. They're wrong, I'm not. It's their problem, not mine. They need help, not me. This is just who I am. Deal with it. My struggle is way worse than their struggle. It's not my fault that they misunderstood me. And I know this last one's a bit harsh, but I don't really care about their feelings. We may not come out and say that, but our pride says that very, very loudly. Listen, pride is a product of selfishness. Pride and selfishness ultimately lead to sin, and all of them destroy relationships. That's what they seek to do. And so what I'll say to you is this, is if you actually care about the person that you're struggling with, if we care about them, what we're gonna do is we're gonna set our pride aside to consider where they're coming from, what they're dealing with, and then fully examine the part that we had to play in the struggle that's taking place. We set pride aside. In week two of our series, I shared Philippians 2, 3, and 4 with you. And it's so important. And here's what it says. In humility, consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should not look out for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. And you can just be like this, this scripture just tears down pride, and it starts with leading in humility. And so what I look at that and say, if we desire to reconcile our relationship struggles, we have to set our pride aside to bring humility into the conflict, into the tension, into the struggle, into the frustration. And so as unhealthy conflict is a product of pride, that means healthy conflict will be a product of humility. And here's what humility says. It's the complete opposite. Humility says, how was I wrong? How did I contribute? How can I help resolve this? How was I insensitive or misinformed? What should I change about my actions or my reactions? And then it's a go, your feelings matter. Help me understand them. That's what humility looks like. And so pride points the finger at others. You. Can't be me. Humility points at ourselves. What role do I have to play in this? And I go, if both parties within the midst of this struggle operate in humility, they're willing to own up to their part of the struggle, it'll bring about resolve and reconciliation. So healthy conflict happens when we move from selfish pride to selfless humility. And I know I already said it, but I'll say it again. Avoiding conflict solves nothing. And I think most of us know that because we've spent many, many a days avoiding conflict and continued to watch the problem get worse and worse and worse and worse. Avoiding it causes conflict solves nothing. But when we're willing to address conflict in humility, it will bring healing. And so we got to learn to practice healthy conflict. And if we do, man, it'll dramatically improve all of our relationships. You know this, I know this. Conflict is a part of our life. Every area. Our marriage, our family, at work, our church community. And at the end of the day, none of these relationships will thrive without entering into healthy conflict. And so in each of those areas, man, begin to ask yourself, am I being prideful or am I operating in humility? Am I willing to have direct conversations or am I only operating in indirect conversations? Again, if we don't learn healthy conflict, our struggles are just gonna follow us wherever we go. And the reason why is because conflict exists wherever people are. We are sinful, we are selfish, and we all have our own baggage. And so conflict is going to happen. You can run from it, you can avoid it, you can try to leave it behind, but at the end of the day, it's just gonna show up again. And so it's much, much better to just address it and work through it. I struggled with how I was gonna close out my sermon today. there are many different angles, many different things I wanted to share with you today, and at the end of the day, it's just too much for one sermon. But as I was driving over here on Friday, I received a revelation from the Lord in Jesus' teaching in Matthew 5. And so I just want to spend some time, not a whole lot, but I just want to share it with you and encourage you to kind of dive into it. And so what I'll say to you is, if you read through the Gospels, guess what? Jesus is someone who modeled direct conversations. He didn't beat around the bush, okay? And so he modeled that. And so, you know, we see this tension and this conflict between him and the religious leaders, right? And so he had honest conflict with the Pharisees. And I think it's important to go, like, Jesus didn't engage in that conflict to try to win an argument. No, what he was doing was trying to win people. Because at the end of the day, like, he wanted them to believe in him, to repent of their sins and follow God's will. He was trying to show them what they were missing. Now, you know, and I know, most of them refused. And ultimately, that conflict led Jesus to die on the cross. But, and Jesus knew that, but guess what? He still engaged in the conflict from a place of love, in truth, in grace. And so we have these religious leaders. They were so focused on practicing the law. And so that was their thing. Like, look at what we do. Look at how we do it. You're not doing this. These people aren't doing this. You're not a real rabbi. You're not whatever. They were just. And so what Jesus does is he's like, fine. You say you're practicing the law. He's like, I'm going to elevate the law from just being an outward display of for show to becoming an inward transformation. And so we get to this teaching. Matthew 5, it's the Sermon on the Mount, it's the Beatitudes. And he's going through and he's sharing this teaching that is just, it is so backwards to what everyone had believed up until this point. And then begin to talk about the law and they're trying to say that he's trying to get rid of the law. And in Matthew 5:17, here's what he says. Don't assume that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy it, but to fulfill it. He says, for I assure you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all things are accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches people to do so will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, and this is the important line, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders that were against him, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now keep that in mind. Jesus addresses the importance of the law and continuing to live by the law. But then he goes, I'm going to raise the bar a little bit. I'm gonna raise the standard of behavior, but not just the standard of behavior, of practicing something. He says, no, I want to raise the standard of your heart and mind. And through that, and he goes through that teaching. Again, I don't have enough time because this is like all of chapter 5. He begins to give these teachings about how we are to act. And he goes on, he says, you heard it said, do not murder. And he's like, well, I say, do not even hate within your heart. You heard it said, do not commit adultery. Well, I say, don't even lust. You heard it said, do not lie. I say, you let your yes be yes and your no be no. You heard it said, love your neighbor. I say, love your enemy. You see how it begins to flip the script. And I'm thinking about this, and God is downloading to me that I'm thinking about our conversations, and I'm thinking about gossip, and I'm going, you heard it said, don't gossip. I'm telling you, don't even entertain the thought in your mind. And here's where I landed on this. Tie this back to what he said, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes, you'll never enter the kingdom. They were really good at saying the right thing and performing the rituals perfectly, but their hearts and minds were not aligned with the purposes and will of God. They were missing a very, very crucial part. And so I'll say this, if our heart and mind are sinful, our actions will be sinful, right? But if our heart and mind are pure and purified, then our actions and words will be righteous. And so, you know, Jesus is saying, like, before anything happens, before you speak, before you act, you need to deal with what's in your heart and your mind. You need to begin to combat your thinking so your thoughts, your words, and your actions align. The behavior we display needs to be a reflection of a heart that is in alignment with who Jesus is. So I was just thinking about this and I was asking myself, like, if I'm already thinking it, what's the difference from actually saying it? Think about this. Am I gossiping in my thoughts before I ever even open my mouth? And I'm like, I'm processing this in my own life. And I'm sitting here saying, hey, if we're gonna go to people, make sure we're not speaking gossip. It's not leaving our lips. But then Jesus is like, but is that gossip already in your heart? Let's deal with that first. I was deeply convicted by this. I don't know if that hits for you, but when I consider how I think and what I'd like to say and what my thoughts are of a person versus what I actually say and what I actually share, I'm going, they don't often line up. When I consider the gap between how I think about someone and how Jesus thinks about them, you know what I realize? My heart still needs work. Before anything ever leaves my mouth. So what I do then, is there's knowledge of this. That means that I have to learn to take my thoughts captive. Before I have a conversation, before I go to anybody, take my thoughts captive and I surrender them to Jesus so that my heart and my mind, as well as my words and my actions, I want all of them to bring glory to God. Because here's what I'll say to you, if your heart and mind don't bring glory to God, then your words and actions aren't gonna bring him glory. And so we gotta deal with this before we deal with all this. It's so important. You know, following the fulfilled law of Jesus, it can't just be lip service. It can't just be saying the right thing and doing the right thing and putting on a show for people. No, following the fulfilled law must come from the posture of our heart and mind that is in alignment with who Jesus was and how he called us to live. You want peace in your relationships, you want reconciliation, you want to experience resolve, begin to align your heart and mind with your Savior. Offering grace, offering forgiveness to others as freely as Jesus offers grace and forgiveness to us. I'm gonna ask that you guys would bow your heads, close your eyes. We're gonna just enter into a moment of prayer. And listen, y'all, I can tell you from my life, from my many conversations with others and walking through just relationship struggles, we have a hard time with this. And I think many of us in our relationship struggles have allowed pride to lead us. And where pride is, there's selfishness, and where selfishness is, there's sin. So what I'll say to you in this moment right now, you say that's where I've been, that's something that I've done. But today, right now, right where you sit, it's time to move to repentance. And first, repentance starts in your heart and your mind. And so what that means is that any sin that we commit towards others, we commit towards God. And so repent. Repent of your selfishness, repent of your pride, repent of your words, repent of your actions. Repent of the gossip. Go to God and repent. Receive that forgiveness. Allow your heart and mind to be realigned with who he is and what he desires, not only for you, but for your relationships. And from there you move on. You say, I've made it right between me and God. But now I got to make it right between me and that person. And I got to go and share, and I got to go have a direct conversation with them. I got to tell them how I feel. Tell them what I'm experiencing. Tell them what I've been through. And you also ask them for forgiveness. Because it's in repentance, through forgiveness, that we find reconciliation. If you're currently dealing with a relational struggle and conflict, my prayer for you today is that your pride would be cast down, would be removed, it would be replaced with humility. Whatever wall, whatever barrier that you've put up, that you would say, this is doing me no good. It's only hurting my relationship. Move forward from this place in humility, seeking reconciliation. My prayer for you today is that you would now in your mind have a way to fully understand the difference between what is gossip and unhealthy conflict and guidance, which is healthy conflict. And that you would begin to operate in that. I pray that God would give you boldness and courage to have the direct conversations. Y'all, I know it's hard. But Jesus modeled it for us. The best way to bring resolve is healthy communication. And we need that in our lives. God, right now, I just pray that your spirit would continue to work, that it would cut through our pride, that it would humble us. God, it would bring us to a place where we treasure our relationship over our ego, where we treasure our relationship over our pride and whether or not we were wrong or right, and that we would move to make it right, that we would move to reconciliation. God, I pray for unity in our marriages. I pray for unity in communication with our kids. I pray that when we go into work, we will be a light. We will be mediators. We won't be gossip receptacles. We will be people that say, let's pray about this. Let's go to the Word about this, and let's come to a place of reconciliation. God, from the prayers that we receive, I know there are many struggles. And I'm praying today from your Word and from your Spirit that those struggles can be met with humility, healthy conversations, and ultimately reconciliation. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.